Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
You know, I'm not feeling great. I'm embarrassed. I wish I wouldn't have got the COVID. I'll be honest with you, I haven't done anything different than what I've done, you know, ever since we were on test 33 and the countdown was down to 12 before the regular season. I got a call this morning at 6:30 and said that I had tested positive, and so I went up this morning to retest and was ready to get going with Florida. We, you know, we'll certainly continue that. That won't be a problem with our coaching staff. But, you know, I'm just disappointed. I mean, you get into coaching to coach, and I'm just disappointed I'm not going to have that opportunity to do that, assuming the test wasn't incorrect and that I don't get three negative tests in a row, which I'm hoping I do.
Everyone was so excited Monday following the win against the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday night. I got a text about 10 o'clock that morning that said something's coming down the pipe. Now, I get some of these texts monthly, and they have no significance whatsoever, so I always take them with a grain of salt, and typically there's nothing that ends up coming along with them. Unfortunately, Tommy, something came along with this, as it was announced yesterday from the Arkansas Athletic Department that Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, there is still a chance he can coach on Saturday if he has three subsequent negative tests, which he took one yesterday. If he gets negative, he's going to take another one and then another one after that. But kind of some troubling news out of the Fayetteville front yesterday, and we'll be discussing that all throughout the morning here on a Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out the full lineup of 2020 Toyotas, including the Camry, Corolla, Prius, Avalon, or the spacious crossover RAV4. Do it here in Arkansas, your local Toyota dealer. Toyota, let's go places. We're reacting to the news again of Sam Pittman testing positive for COVID-19. Your calls, your text at 877-377-6963. And I think we need to get out in front of this from the very beginning and say that he tested positive. He doesn't necessarily have it, but right now he is tested positive for COVID-19. That distinction needs to be made at the very front of the show so we can be clear about that.
Well, but that may change.
in a couple hours.
By the time we get off the air, but by the time halftime comes on the air, we may have a different set of information. So I think what you're saying is accurate for the minute. But the test, that the results will come back today, could change that. So this is a minute by minute deal right now. And I think you are accurate for right now. He has tested positive, but that's true with anybody, right?
Yeah, it's a fluid situation.
I mean, that's true with anybody that's tested, so it's no different because it's Sam Pittman. I've never heard it put that way with anyone else, but you're right. No one else puts it that way, but there's nothing wrong with what you are saying. So it's not surprising. We've seen it with other coaches. I guess it would be surprising if he gets the Nick Saban treatment here, and he can get three consecutive negative tests. We'll see if he can run the gauntlet. If he's truly asymptomatic, which, hey, if you watch the Zoom call or if you go to hitthatline.com, he has the appearance of that. You heard him there in the open. You know, so we'll see how he goes through this thing. So today's going to be an interesting day. If today's test comes back positive, there's obviously no need for the next two, and we'll know that he is out till middle of next week to get ready for hopefully an LSU game. I'm wondering if that game's even going to happen with the trajectory of the course of the LSU program right now.
Yeah, because they're dealing with COVID issues. There's been an outbreak of positives down there. A&M has paused practices as well, so stuff going on.
There's a lot going on around the league.
As far as the SEC is concerned. But if he is indeed positive, obviously, pray for Sam Pittman and everything going on with him and Mrs. Jamie. But this is the conversation we had all offseason long. Hey, if something like this happened, you got something in your back pocket, and that's Barry Odom, a coach in this league, a guy that's had success in the Southeastern Conference. You have him in your back pocket. Again, we'll see in a couple hours if Sam Pittman tests positive again and can't coach against the Florida Gators this week. But right now, you're at least confident in what you have behind you in Barry Odom to back up Sam Pittman as the interim head coach.
You know,
I say interim. Is that the correct term to say?
I think that's the term they used in the release yesterday, that Barry Odom would be interim in his absence right now. Now, Sam went through it, and we can get into it. I don't know how much detail you want to get into the things he relayed yesterday. He's going to be involved in meetings. He's not going to be involved in practice. He felt no need to be involved. He said he could watch practice as soon as it was over on the film, but he's not going to participate in the practice virtually. So we can get into some of those details he gave us yesterday. But this isn't what I'm getting ready to say is not a knock on Sam. So please understand that up front. I don't think losing Sam Pittman's as big a deal as losing one of your two coordinators for a game, for the actual operation of a game. I think if Kendall Briles or Barry Odom had come out and your actual play callers had been lost for a game, it probably would affect the team and the operation of the way you go about your business on game day to a much greater degree than losing Sam Pittman at this point. I think this is a much more overcomable, I don't even know if that's the correct word here, this is much easier to get around than if Kendall Briles had been the one to test positive. Who would, have we ever even discussed the idea, who would call offensive plays in the absence of Kendall Briles? Who would call the defensive plays in the absence of Barry Odom? There's a clear and obvious succession plan in the absence of Sam Pittman. I'm not sure how this offense would roll if Kendall Briles was the guy that had the positive test. So to me, while you never want your head coach gone, while you need that vocal leader, while you want someone to turn the damn jukebox up if you pull the upset at Florida, to me, from an operational standpoint on Saturday, this is a situation I think you can navigate.
I would probably agree with you on that because, I mean, just thinking about it, if you look at the other assistant coaches on offense, whether it's Cooper, whether it's Stepp, I don't know who you'd go with calling plays.
Go with Sam Pittman would be my guess.
That's probably correct, but that's kind of a.
And don't tell me whether it'd be a team or a group effort. Group efforts don't work on play calling. So I'm just saying nobody wants to lose anybody, but the reality is this was inevitable. It was inevitable that a coach, it may not have been inevitable that it was Sam Pittman, but it was inevitable that someone critical to your coaching staff or critical on your team, whether it was a Felipe Franks or a Bumper Pool or, we've seen some things go on. They may not have been completely upfront about what player had what and whether it was an injury or COVID, but we've seen players already in protocol. But it was inevitable that this coaching staff and perhaps the head coach was going to end up in this situation. The timing's not ideal, headed to Florida. Maybe you're rooting for the hurricane now if you're the Arkansas administration. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're rooting for now. I just know that the track of not just the hurricane but COVID around the league right now this week, for whatever reason, this week is not looking good.
Jeffrey says Felipe could call the plays.
Well, perhaps.
I don't know if they go.
From an operational standpoint, outside looking into the layperson, if you had to lose a coordinator or a head coach, it seems to me like this might be the most surmountable loss with your coaching staff.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
We mentioned the bad news that Sam Pittman has tested positive for COVID-19. Got some good news, though, yesterday from the SEC office that Jalen Callon has been named the SEC Defensive Player of the Week. He had an interception, 10 tackles in the game this weekend against Tennessee. Dude is number one in the SEC in solo tackles. You think about Arkansas this season, the number one team in the country in interceptions, and for the first time in school history, they've had four guys that have won SEC Defensive Player of the Week, and it ain't over yet.
No, and it's not co-Defensive Player of the Week. He's just the Defensive Player of the Week, right? So it seems like all these awards, you end up co-defensive or some kind of co-award, and he just won the thing this week. So yeah.
Good for really good, cool for Jalen Catalan to have that. Your game time came out next weekend. LSU will be played at 11 a.m. in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. Now, the network is still up in the air. It's TBD. It will be either on the SEC Network or ESPN, but the game time is confirmed for 11 a.m., your first 11 a.m. of the college football season.
And you like these 11 a.m. games to be on the road, but this one's going to be home tilt. You just hope you get to play the game because of LSU's COVID situation. They're at a breaking point, having just enough players is what you're reading from some of the Twitter reports with their media and some of the things coming out of Baton Rouge, whether or not they'll have enough to play. But Arkansas would be their next game right now at this point. So they're looking at losing games. So hopefully they'll be healthy enough and ready to go to play Arkansas at this point.
And they're big underdogs heading into Alabama this weekend, so I'm really curious to see what happens this weekend, how that affects the LSU football team next week, and if that game does indeed go on.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation about that game. Tomorrow at some point they'll make a call on whether that gets played. So there's a lot of things floating. Everybody's eyes are on this game. Of course, this game doesn't have nearly the luster it's had in years past because it's not even considered to be close, as far as what the outcome should be, but doesn't have nearly the what weighs in the balance in this game. Doesn't mean much for the West this year compared to what it's been, and we all know, but
it's not like the game in 2011 or the game last year.
Or the last 10 years. It's gonna be the worst game we've seen in a while. Yeah. So do they even play the game at this point? Is LSU going to come up and have enough players? Are they going to be able to check the boxes to play the game this week?
Well, and again, I made this comment when it came to Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels prior to them playing Arkansas, because Lane was acting like it was just severe and they weren't going to have enough guys to play, and that just didn't end up being the case at all. Some of these coaches have used this as gamesmanship. Now, I don't know if Ed Orgeron is doing that and how bad it is in Baton Rouge. I just know that that's happened in this league already this season, and that's not to say it can't happen again.
But the game is where? In Baton Rouge. So who gets ticket money? LSU. So keep that in mind as you're muddling through the calculus on, are they going to play or not play? Well, who keeps the money if they do play? Well, that'd be LSU. Well, who loses the money if they don't play? Well, that'd be LSU. So always follow the money. If you learn nothing else from me, always follow the money. My guess is they play.
Kyle Pitts is questionable right now for the Florida Gators. That's the best tight end in college football. Has 8 touchdowns, a third of the reception touchdowns that Florida has this season. Dan Mullen said on SEC this morning with Peter Burns and Chris Dorian yesterday that he is questionable. So that's an injury report that you're going to be wanting to keep an eye on as an Arkansas fan.
Hope he's highly questionable. They just probably ought to let him heal up.
The coaches always say that they want to play their best player, but this the best players on the opposing team. But this would be a guy you probably want to avoid having to play, because this offense is not the same without Kyle Pitts in there, just being a matchup nightmare for a linebacker or a safety or a cornerback, whoever he gets matched up against. 8 touchdowns already. It's just an absolute force. Best tight end in the country. And it's really not that close. All right,
I think you ought to heal up.
Last quickie headline before we get to some calls. The best Thanksgiving side, according to this website, Zippa, they did it across the country, every state in the United States. Arkansas is apparently white gravy based on Google searches. Your thoughts on that?
We're not opposed to white gravy at the Kraft House, but white gravy is not necessarily a staple of Thanksgiving either.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think when I saw this initially, it's like you're saying, I like white gravy and I dump it on a bunch of stuff that is at Thanksgiving, but I don't know how that would be the best.
Yeah, I don't think about white gravy when I think Thanksgiving. White gravy doesn't come to mind. I don't lay awake at night anticipating Thanksgiving with the thoughts of white gravy dancing through my head.
Yeah.
So no, I would disagree with white gravy, at least for me and my family, and the 43 or so Thanksgivings I've got underneath my belly. White gravy hadn't been a big part of it.
Yep. We're going to get to your calls and texts coming up, 877-377-6963. And if you want to give your opinion on what the best Thanksgiving side is out there, I know we're getting closer and closer to that delectable holiday. Mm-hmm. Send those in via text, via call, 877-377-6963.
It is the best food holiday, and that's not even up for debate. Quick hitting headlines are brought to you by the all new Wheels RV in Northwest Arkansas. If you want to get out and explore this fall, you need to get to Wheels RV. They have the luxury brands like Grand Design, Alliance, KZ, and the all new solar powered Vibe. And with their lifetime warranty on every new unit and their mobile service shuttle, relax and know that your RV will stay like new year after year. Again, it's at Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72. Off I-49 in Springdale, seek, explore, and discover with Wheels RV.
Let's go to our Texar Cannon. Welcome in PA to the conversation. PA, you're on the Morning Rush.
Dad, you sound like you got your dobber down, man. Are you okay?
My what down, buddy?
Your dobber down. I mean, are you down and out? You just don't have that same pop in your voice.
Pep in my step. I was a little disheartened to see this news about Sam Pittman yesterday. I hope it's just a false positive, but I guess that's got me down in the dumps a little bit, PA.
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, it goes to show how used we have gotten as a society to the COVID virus. If this had been happening back in April, I would be on the five alarm, lookout as far as him going to the hospital on a respirator. And look how far we've come with therapeutics. And we don't seem to worry near as much about, people passing,
We'd be talking about him being in that age, that high risk age group, That,
right.
That hadn't even been brought up yet this morning.
Right. And I hope he doesn't have it. I mean, I'm with everybody else. I hope it's a false positive, but only Nick Saban can pull that off. I mean, for 3 times. I don't see that. If the disease is what it really, if they say it is, the odds of getting a false positive and then having three of them, not really having it, it's just, I don't know. How many people across the nation have gotten false positives but then been treated for COVID and counted as a COVID case is what I'd like to know. I mean, because they don't get to go back and get 3 more tests.
Exactly.
The general public.
Exactly.
They
get to go home.
Really as bad as we think.
Go home.
They
work for 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's true. But I'm just saying, It just goes to show how we can get used as a society to a certain thing, and like 6 months ago, 5 months ago, I'd have been shaking in my boots, worried for his life, Because I mean, let's look at me. He's a little older, not old, but a little older, and he's a little overweight. A little more than a little. I mean, I am too. But anyway, I if he actually does have it, I'm worried about him. I hope he's okay. I'm not worried about his, not whether he's going to be there Saturday or not, but whether he's okay.
But PA, next to the governor and Warren Stevens, who would have better medical care in our state than Sam Pittman?
I can't think of any right now.
Okay.
If it'd been Chad Morris last year, I don't know.
No, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, I guess I shouldn't be talking about medical ethics here.
Sounds like ethics isn't the word there, PA.
But I would say Sam would probably get.
That sounds like you were trying to
governor or anybody. Sounds
like you were trying to turn old Chad's mask inside out. So.
Well, if if Auburn can't play for some kind of reason this weekend, we still have him. We're still paying old Chad. We can bring him on for a week, can't we?
You going to borrow him for a week?
Now he's our head coach.
He'd be your offensive coordinator.
It'd be 34-0 at halftime, and the kids would be ready to get on the plane.
Halftime?
I'm just saying. Those guys would be ready to get back on the plane, you know, and go home. No,
they wouldn't want to get off the plane.
Or get on
They'd
the
get
plane,
on the plane. Off. They wouldn't get on it.
I guess I shouldn't say. I just saw, I think they had a week off, and the coordinators down at Auburn were doing the press conferences and this week, and I watched his press conference, and it was like I was watching Jason Voorhees enter my room. I mean, I can remember those days. And he just never answered questions, and he was just, oh, man, I know you guys in the media were probably sick of hearing this coach speak, and finally got to throwing people under the bus. I mean, I'm going to get off of that guy. I'm more concerned about Sam,
yeah,
you know, than anything. And I wish him well, and I'm praying that everything works out well, whether he has it or he's lucky enough to turn Nick Saban. But if he has it, I wish him well, and I hope he gets the best therapeutics he can get, and we'll see him the following weekend. So that's just what I wanted to say, guys, and I appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, PA.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to look at it, that obviously you hope he doesn't have it, but if he does have it, that he can get as quickly as recovery as possible. So back to the phone lines, going to David, who is in South Arkansas following. Let me find this. Now, David, you're a day late, but I will play this regardless. Y'all pulled it out against Carolina. And I picked the Kansas City Chiefs in my Survivor League, and that's 66.
That's why I was so close.
Yeah, that 66-yard field goal from Josh Sly was a little too close for comfort, man.
Kiss of death.
I would have called yesterday morning, but I was 500 miles away up in Kansas City still, so I wasn't able to find you guys on a radio station anywhere. But just a great game, great day, wonderful thing, and it is, something about Pittman. But I did have kind of a couple of general football questions. Number one, is there an epidemic with kickers missing extra points this year, both pro and college, it seems like? And also, I'm going to throw this out about intentional grounding. I mean, not intentional grounding, spiking the ball, which to me is intentional grounding because it doesn't go past the line of scrimmage. There's no receiver around. The quarterback's still in the tackle box, blah, blah, blah. And we argue that incessantly at our tailgates. And speaking of great tailgate arguments, white gravy is for chicken fried steak only. I will say that. And as far as the side for Thanksgiving, my ex does a superb, superb green bean casserole. And it was always wonderful to have that at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
So what do you do now? I'm assuming you don't get the green bean casserole any longer.
No, I don't get the green bean casserole now. What we've done lately, I live with my dad now, and his various health issues. So generally what we do is we'll go to the church or the food bank and help deliver and stuff like that. So, that's pretty cool. We enjoy that. That's really good stuff to do. But, this whole thing, it's just, the guy made a great point about what we're used to. Of course, I'll send y'all a picture. We're all wearing a mask at the game Sunday, and I'm screaming and yelling for a linebacker or somebody to cover McCaffrey. I don't care if he goes to the bathroom, somebody cover him wherever he goes. And this nice usher lady comes over and goes, "Sir, please put your mask on properly." I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm yelling. I'll put it on after I get through yelling. No problem." But anyway, good day. It's a great day. Oh, and the Cowboys lost. So, that's kind of a 3-4 weekend again. But anyway,
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it as always, David. So interesting take as far as the sides are concerned. I'm curious. We've gotten some texts and calls. We'll have to continue on this in a little bit. But good win for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, you can hear the Kansas City Chiefs here on ESPN Arkansas, 104.3 Harrison Mountain Home, 95.3 Fort Smith River Valley. And like David, if you're ever out of town and you ever want to listen to us, you can always do that. HitThatLine.com, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, and the TuneIn app as well. If you're ever not able to listen to us on a radio station, we are on a variety of other different platforms. Going to Northeast Arkansas, welcoming in Kagan in Piggott, home of the Mohawks. Kagan, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side?
I don't know. I don't guess I really have one. I eat it all.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good answer.
I mean, I ain't too picky of an eater, you know. But anyways, I ain't going to be able to watch the game this Saturday, guys.
Get married.
This is the wedding? This is the wedding weekend, yes, isn't it?
Yeah. And
what time is the wedding? What time is the wedding?
The wedding's at 4.
Well, the
it's
game's
at 4 o'clock.
The game's at 6.
Yeah, I know, but there's going to be a bunch of people there and family members and this and that, which I'm sure my dad or brothers will
what
be
do
over
you think,
there in the corner.
What do you think they want to do?
Oh, they're going to be watching the game. I'll just be having to ask my dad what the score is or this or that, because he'll be looking down at his phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I just rolled the TV out.
Yeah, Kagan, I was fortunate. So I'm attending a wedding next week, and the groom was thrilled to find out the game is at 11 a.m. considering the wedding is at 5:30. So we will be able to watch that prior to his performance next weekend.
Well, that's also the first day of gun season, and you know, I'm going to be gone on my honeymoon for a whole week, so I'm missing a whole week of gun season. So
that's a double whammy. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you got gun season and a Razorback football game. Wow. Double whammy.
Yep, tell me about it.
That's a big ask for some groomsmen, isn't it?
Hey, they're all saying the same thing.
Woo-wee.
And, you know,
you owe them big.
Man, you know, they're all wanting to go hunting and this and that.
Well, at least it's an afternoon wedding and not a noon wedding or something where they can at least go that morning.
Well, she don't want me to go deer hunting Saturday morning, but I figure that's going to be the only chance I got, so I got knocked down a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Kagan, enjoy your wedding this weekend, man. We appreciate you as a listener. I can't wish you and your wife, or your fiance currently, your future wife, the best of luck this weekend, and make sure you send us some pictures at some point on y'all's honeymoon
as well. Well, I appreciate it, guys.
So, always,
Kagan, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Absolutely. So excited for him and his future Mrs. Kagan. I know that's his first name, but I don't know Kagan's last name. So we'll just say Miss the future Mrs. Kagan from Piggott. So
weddings this weekend. You got football season and deer season this weekend. And I'm going to tell you, for someone from Piggott or South Arkansas, he's up in Northeast Arkansas, but I mean, that's religion now, deer season. I know you're not a big deer hunter. I'm not a big deer hunter, but I get it. I think you get it a little bit, too. We're more city boys than country boys, but I understand deer season. I'm going to tell you, asking someone to go to a wedding this weekend, that's asking a lot.
Yeah.
Asking someone to get married or be in your wedding this weekend, that's asking for a whole lot.
My brother is going hunting this weekend with my uncle, and I know they're, as soon as it was starting, they were definitely going to hit it. So, but props to Kagan. Again, best of luck to him, too, and his significant other this weekend. We've got a couple texts here on the sides issue. Clay Henry's going to join us in about 10 minutes, and we'll get the publisher of Hogs Illustrated's thoughts on what's going on with Sam, the SEC stuff coming up shortly. But these texts have gotten in. Jordan Greenwood says, as far as the Thanksgiving conversation is concerned, it has to be the cranberry sauce. Now, I've never been a big cranberry guy, to be honest. I'll eat it, but I'm not like craving it every single time I gorge myself over Thanksgiving.
No. You got to have it, but yeah, it's just something you kind of mix in there. I mean, it's not it's not the number one thing. It's like the number eight thing. It's kind of like grape jelly. It just kind of blends in with everything else. It's a nice It's the ketchup on the side of the fries, you know.
Dustin Rogers texting. He says his best Thanksgiving side is crockpot dressing or green bean casserole. So I love
crockpot dressing. Yeah. Yeah. That's what my wife makes, a great crockpot dressing.
Justin from Paris says gravy is just a condiment. His favorite is dressing. So turkey and dressing is just, is really hard to beat.
White gravy is the number one thing. I don't.
They said it based on Google searches. Well, and I don't know if I've ever, and I like white gravy, as we've mentioned, but I don't know if we've ever had it Thanksgiving. We have the turkey gravy, the brown turkey gravy.
I mean, you have the turkey gravy because you've got that broth, you got that. The juices and all the stuff. You have the turkey gravy that goes on the mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few times the brown gravy is really what you'd rather have rather than the white gravy. Absolutely.
Austin texted in. He says the best food traditions for them at Thanksgiving is fried deer and elk.
Yeah.
That sounds, I've never had fried deer or elk. That sounds pretty tasty.
You take the back strap or the deer tenderloin. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Some deer steaks. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Arkansas says giblet gravy is giblet his favorite, gravy.
Yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah.
B. Hager says he prefers stuffing over dressing. He really enjoys turkey.
You know the difference?
I couldn't tell you the difference.
Well, stuffing is exactly the way it sounds. You stuff the turkey, mm-hmm. and the stuffing's what comes out of the actual carcass versus dressing, which would be made, you know, in a pan, in a crock pot, some other way. So. Okay. And the stuffing is superior to dressing.
Mark says his favorite Thanksgiving side is dressing. So it's stuffing over dressing, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, because the stuffing is in the bird and it soaks up all the juices and the fat is what it's soaking up, so it's good. And if you're smoking your turkey, then that stuffing has that smoked flavor. So then it's smoked stuffing. Which is really good.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
With this week, playing Florida, playing one of the most potent offenses in college football, it's probably not the week that your head coach needs to have a positive COVID test. But, you know, he's busting his butt, doing every can to prepare regardless of the situation. And here's what Sam Pittman had to say yesterday. He said, "I can't explain how much the well wishes from great friends and folks of Arkansas means to me. I feel fine. I'm hoping for a false positive test. Our staff is elite, and we'll have our wonderful players ready for this weekend. Go Hogs. Appreciate you all." So we've heard from Sam that he is asymptomatic. He's not feeling under the weather or anything, which is one of a good sign. And this could very well be a false positive, like it seemed to be in Nick Saban's case. But until then, it's just kind of a wait and see. But I look at this as a way, if you want to pull a positive out of this, which there's not a lot of positives you can take out. But I feel like that this football team, regardless if it's the staff or if it's the players, I mean, they've clearly bought into Sam's philosophy early on through six games, not even through six games. You could see it in game number one. I think they're going to be highly motivated to win this game for their football coach this week.
I could see that. I mean, you see this in other times, you know, pre-COVID, where a coach is going through something with family or you know, something that's a challenge for a coach's personal life, and the team steps up to take it on for the coach and to fight for their coach. So I could see where this team, who loves their coach, I mean, all you needed to see was players for Tennessee that wanted to embrace and talk to Coach Pittman following the game this past Saturday. That just tells you the kind of relationships this guy builds. So how hard do you think his team wants to fight for him? Of course they do. So I get exactly what you're saying there. And, you know, are they going to be a little more motivated out of the gate? Yeah, but in the end, you better be ready to, you know, to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in this league and one of the top five or six, seven teams in the country in Florida. I mean, that's where you're going to have to play at that level. You're going to play at a top 10 level to win this football game.
Yeah, the thing that you have to really wait to observe is how the players react to this situation. Does it frustrate them? Does it make them nervous? Or are they just fired up? Are they fired up to play for Sam and in, you know, what they you've seen glimpses of it that they really like their head coach, and what that dynamic will do to this game is really what's out there for me right now.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel like your coach getting, and I'm not one of, you know, we're not part of the team, but it's hard to feel as a member of the team. I would think you've been wronged. It's unjust that your coach got head coach. It's just something that's happened. So, you know, a lot of times it's easy to find motivation when you felt like you've been done wrong with a bad call from the officials, or something that you felt like you've been dealt a bad hand from the league office, or, you know, something happened in the previous game that didn't go your way at the end of a ball game. You know, your head coach, you know, if he's healthy and doing fine and he's asymptomatic, but he can't be with your team because of positive tests, you know, it's just a bad break. You know, you probably don't feel like you've been done wrong. I think you'd probably have to conjure up that a little bit from a motivational standpoint.
Well, I think motivation, there's a variety of different things. If you're ticked off and angry about something, that's motivation. But if you're also inspired, which I think Sam Pittman has inspired this football, you can be motivated in different ways.
I agree with that.
Some people are motivated by anger or rage. But people are motivated by circumstance. Some people are motivated by the slightest of things. I mean,
happened at Auburn, you don't have to work real hard to get motivated by it.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
I mean, again,
this isn't a situation like what happened at Auburn.
I mean, remember when we were kind of recapping The Last Dance, and it seemed like Michael Jordan found whatever reason something to motivate him. For example, 96 against the Seattle Supersonics, he felt like he was snubbed by George Karl, who was the Sonics coach at the time, for not saying hey to him at a restaurant. And he used that as motivation to beat Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in six games. But if George Karl would have said hi to him, he would have done the exact same thing. And that was Michael, and he's the most competitive athlete probably ever. But I think people, they find different parts, different things, different occurrences in life to motivate them. And in this case, you have a guy who everyone in that locker room seems to love. Bumper Pool said that last week, that they love that guy. And to me, while it's not motivation out of anger, you're finding something within yourself that says, hey, we got to fight for our guy. He's not going to be on the battlefield with us this week. Let's go out and do this. Anger is not the only motivation.
I think that you got the situation where this is ultimate in athletics, and you hear it all the time. I got your back. I won't pick up your slack. I've got you. You're not with us. I've got you. Don't worry. I have added a little bit on me for you. I have taken what you were going to give to the game, and I'm going to raise my level. And that's what they're going to do. And that's in everybody that's been in athletics understands that you can play for the missing link. And depending on what you care for, I mean, there might be some guy on the team who's like, man, I don't really care if he's here or not. He was a doofus. He didn't help us. But this guy is, I'm not talking about you, Ty. I mean, I don't want you to feel bad. I didn't, you know, we would miss you if you weren't with us. Some. And then
just
some.
Just a hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. So, but there ain't any doubt that they're going to play harder for him because he is their guy. He's the leader. He's the guy that lifted them from the abyss. And Lord knows Arkansas football was in the abyss. Mm-hmm. And he's done everything right. You know, the only thing he could have done is maybe wear his mask a little more. I don't know if he did. You know, like that's up for debate. But you know, he didn't do, this isn't his fault. They know it's not his fault, and they will put out effort. Now, you know, do you miss his decision making during the game? Is it, you know, is that something that comes down the pike at sometime, you know, in the swamp where you say, oh, you know, that Sam would have done it that way, or Sam would have recognized when somebody needed to be jacked up, you know, or he would have known how to go handle that kicker to get him back making field goals like he did the other night. So it's those are the things that you don't have. But Barry Odom's done those things. Ryan Rhodes is a longtime head coach. They've done those things. So, Kendall Briles, this isn't his first rodeo. I mean, he's been successful everywhere he's been. So I think they're going to be fine for the short term. And he's going to do things that help the team in the short term. He's going to be doing things in recruiting and maximizing his time. And if there's certain things he would be doing football-wise if he was in the building, well, he's going to switch and be productive doing something else.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, when you're talking about emotions, and it, certainly you don't want to peak emotions right now. You're talking about, you know, where players are at. You're not worried about that today on Tuesday. You're worried about that on Friday and Saturday. So, you know, you can kind of table that. If I'm Barry Odom and I'm in the building with that team, or I'm Kendall Briles and I'm with my offensive guys, I'm worried about the emotion of fear and anxiety right now, because and I'm worried about that within my office dealing with the coaches, because who do you think the group of people within that football organization Sam spent the most time with? It's the coaches, right? There's no limit on that. And they're anxiously awaiting Sam's results. They're more anxiously awaiting their own results, because yes, theirs came back negative. Now, what about the incubation? Their wives are asking questions. Their kids are asking questions. Everyone's asking questions.
Yeah.
There is anxiety, maybe to the point of fear right now within this organization. What if my next test comes back positive? Then what? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, there is anxiety going on within the walls of this program, because it's human nature. If one of us tested positive in this studio, there would be anxiety for the other ones that hadn't tested positive for when we go get tested. That's just human nature. And I promise you, that's some of the emotions going on right now within the four walls over there at the Football Operations Center.
Well, you hope that what happened didn't cause them to lose focus for a day, thinking, well, we're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's exactly right.
You lose a good day of preparation because you think, well, if he's got it, there's 30 of the rest of us, because we all danced to the jukebox after the game and hugged and, you know, and embraced and all those things. Surely the wave is coming. You know, it's not going to be today, it's not going to be tomorrow, it's going to be Thursday. So why do all these things when we know we're not going to make the trip? Now, I'm not saying that that happens in widespread, but all that has to happen is for a couple of players. You don't expect it to happen with Jalen Catalan. You don't expect it to happen with Grant Morgan and Bumper Pool, or the rest of those captains, you know, Jonathan Marshall and Felipe Franks. But it, you know, if it happens with a couple of spots, you know, you could have a key situation pop up in the game that you're not prepared for, that you didn't focus good enough during the week. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's the danger.
Yeah, we hope it's exactly what we're thinking, that this is a false positive with one coach, and that, you know, that exactly what Sam said, he was the only one that tested positive, and that's the case throughout the week. But I guarantee you there's some anxiety with a lot of people right now. And that's the emotion today that's got to evolve as you move throughout the week and get to what we're talking about here, which is, an emotion that, hey, we want to go, you know, we're going to run through a brick wall for somebody by Saturday. And that's what you got to build up to.
And they've been doing that for 6 weeks, and you expect them to do it in week 7.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
I'm going to go to Russellville, home of the Cyclones, and welcome in Hong Kong Sui. Hong Kong Sui, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
Morning, fellas. Good to hear from you. Hey, so a little bit about this PCR test. I heard Tommy saying that they run them like 40 times or something like that, and I just wanted to clear up a little bit on that. I'm a 25-year veteran of the medical professions, for the record.
Lay it on. But, that's what I've been told.
So the way it works is actually like this. The PCR test doesn't actually find live virus. It finds fragments, microscopic fragments of the viral shell. The virus is in a capsule because it can't live inside the human body. And it breaks apart and falls apart once the virus bores its way into the shell. And that's what the PCR test actually finds. But it's such a tiny amount that they have to basically run it through somewhere. They do between 24 and 40,000 cycles is what they do. And the more cycles they run, the more times it magnifies the minute strands of RNA and all that sort of stuff. So the New York Times ran an article of, I don't know, it's probably been 2 months back or more at this point, but about how about 90% of PCR tests were false positives by any real stretch of the imagination. I don't know what how many cycles the lab that Sam says that is being run, but if it's more than 24, the chances of him having an actual positive are tiny, and because 24 is kind of the cutoff the manufacturer suggests. Real studies have shown that if they run the 24 cycles, there's still only about a 0.5% chance of finding an active COVID case with the PCR test. Now, what that means is that if he does get some negatives back, then there's a very good chance he really doesn't have an active case, and that's why he would be asymptomatic. But it multiplies it. So, like, at 24 cycles, it's something like multiplied 250,000 times, and at 40 cycles, it's multiplied over a million times is the way it works. So, they may be running it multiple times other than the, I'm talking about the spin up, but I doubt it with the number of people who are having to be tested constantly right now. So anyway, just that information, and that's probably why Saban popped out negative after three negatives after he got a positive, because the way they cycle those. And I seem to remember they took him to a different lab for his three negatives also.
Yeah, his lab was in the back of the Mercedes-Benz dealership there that he
had. Right.
Yeah.
And as for my favorite side dish.
Now, here's the part I'm interested in.
Yeah, I know. This is much more important. I don't know. I mean, I guess dressing's not being considered a side dish.
Absolutely.
No, you're good.
Gravy's not a side dish, Hong Kong Sui.
Well, no, gravy's not a side dish. That's an absolute imperative part of good dressing and mashed potatoes.
Right.
And it's not white gravy. It's that good giblet gravy.
Right. Gravy's
a
condiment. You know, gravy's...
Exactly.
It's not
You're a terrorist if you don't have gravy at Thanksgiving.
You got to have... gravy's fine, but it's not a side dish. It's
right.
An additive.
And maybe if we're saying that the dressing is part of the main dish, along with the turkey and the ham and the...
It's
and
an
the
additive.
Sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
Then maybe we could say that my favorite side dish, if dressing is not a side dish, would have to be the hash brown casserole.
That's a good one. Yeah,
it hasn't been mentioned.
So anyway,
yeah.
I hope that I gave a good clarifying answer on the PCR and set the table for hash brown casserole.
I don't think you clarified anything, but the hash brown casserole did save the call. So,
well, yeah, you know,
talked over
I know.
Heads.
I just felt like it needed to be said.
Well, you surely showed that you know a lot more than we do. So,
well, either that or I'm a really good liar, right?
Well, you talk good. All right. So, thanks for the call. Clay, did you pick up on any of that?
Yeah, I think that was exactly the way I thought it was.
You're a liar. Get out of here. You didn't understand a word of what he was saying.
Something about the shells.
You didn't understand anything until he said hash brown casserole. Get out of here.
When I'm out in the duck woods, I pick up my shells. That's all I know. It's like they're trying to see how many shells have it. I didn't know I had any shells in my body.
Didn't he say something
about shells?
Yeah.
What's the medical test you take? I almost said the KMAC. What's the medical test you take to get into medical school?
The MCAT?
MCAT, yeah.
He was going through that, and all I could hear was...
Mm. I thought you were talking about that test you took a few weeks ago. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to say
I appreciate the knowledge, but that's why I'm doing radio for a living.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
All right, we asked this question earlier.
I love that.
Well, Miss Lisa was ticked off because the Hawks sucked.
Where's she been? I haven't heard from her, and she didn't call.
She's nothing to be about.
Well,
Hogs are good. She's nothing to complain about.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
That was just a great call that morning. What is your favorite side dish here on the Morning Rush as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving? I'll start. My absolute favorite side dish, and I eat about a pan of these suckers every single year, is Sister Schubert rolls. I eat those every single year.
That's where the cranberry comes in handy, because it's like jelly.
I don't even use it. I just... douse them in gravy. That's where the gravy...
Well, that's fine, too.
Not the white gravy. I'd rather have the brown gravy or the giblet gravy here. But my absolute favorite side dish is the Sister Schubert rolls. Mm-hmm. Clay, where would you say your favorite side dish is? And again, if y'all want to holler, we've already got a bunch of texts.
It's cranberry. It's cranberry? Jelly cranberry. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you got to have it. Now, I will say, there was a really, really bad Thanksgiving, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, and I sat down at the table, and I looked around, and it's like, well, there's no cranberry. Is the cranberry sauce has not been... You know, has it not been put out yet? No, we decided not to have it. You know, I mean, I'm sitting with two daughters and a wife. I'm outnumbered 3-1.
But mom made cranberry sauce.
And then I said, look, here are the rolls. And they were Sister Schubert rolls. Mm. And I was like, where's the butter? Well, we don't have butter anymore in our house.
What?
We don't have butter.
What?
They said, we have Greek yogurt.
Oh, get out of here.
The Greek yogurt. And so
Happy Thanksgiving. They're all
got a spread of this Greek yogurt stuff, and they're spreading it on their yogurt.
Oh.
I got up. I had to walk around a little bit. I didn't want to let off my steam at the Thanksgiving table because I'm definitely thankful of all the things that I had.
Answers.
But I had to walk around for a little while and let off a little steam. We have had butter and we have had cranberry sauce every Thanksgiving since then.
I can't even believe it.
My wife's dressing is out of this world. It is fantastic. There's so many great things that she has ready. Mm-hmm. She always has a pecan pie, and it's fantastic. There's usually a pumpkin pie, which I'm not crazy, but that's everybody got to have that for some people.
I'm with you.
And then sometimes there's a chocolate cake. And, I mean, it's a fantastic feast as long as it's got butter and gravy and
Wait a minute. Chocolate cake and pumpkin pie and all that's acceptable, but we can't have butter for the rolls?
That's only one time that happened.
That reeks with hypocrisy almost, that we can have chocolate cake and pumpkin pie. It's unhealthy to have butter for the rolls. I mean, I
thought maybe it was,
where's the hidden camera here?
I gave everybody, because everybody contributed to that. All the girls worked on it in some ways, that gave them the benefit of the doubt, so we just ran out of butter. No, we made a decision not to have butter.
Mm.
You did what? I would have gone to Walgreens.
Yeah, I would have gone to Walgreens and just done that. So, what's yours, Tom? And we got some texts we got to get to as well.
My wife's crock pot dressing is ever bit as good as what Clay's describing from his wife. My wife makes incredible dressing. I like my smoked stuffing as well. When I do the smoked turkey, putting the dressing or the stuffing on the smoker is really good. Like that. I do, handed down from my grandfather, turkey and dumplings. We roll out the dumplings, make them ourselves, turkey stock, the dark turkey meat. It's incredible. Those are my two favorite things that I eat on Thanksgiving. And I'm with Clay. You got to have the cranberry. And it can be right out of the can. That's fine with me.
I'm hungry
now.
Me too. Text out of the 479 says mashed potatoes and brown gravy. Cody says green bean casserole with onion things on top.
Greg, we usually have that.
Yeah, those are really good. Greg and Fort Smith says he makes a great hash brown casserole.
Aren't we about a week early on this? Week and a half? Or are we going to do this again?
No, we got time to do this.
We can come back for seconds on this conversation. Yeah. Okay. We'll make sure, because we need to have this conversation again in about a week and a half.
Chris in Boonville texts in. He says favorite side dish is pumpkin pie. Rick and Alma says sweet potato casserole.
I like that,
Are you a pumpkin pie guy?
I love pumpkin pie.
My wife and kids love pumpkin pie. That's the last dessert I'll eat.
Really?
I'm not a pumpkin pie guy.
So.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.